interprets the dream of the Sar HaMashkin. However, Yosef has the following language. Kim's chartani itcho, kashe yitavoch. He asked the Sar HaMashkin, please remember me. Do me a favor. Miskartani el para. And by the way, I'm not discussing now the double ocean that my father showed was bothered by, the separate problem. But he asked the Sar HaMashkin, could you please, when you speak to Paro, could you please do me a favor? Remind him that I'm in the dungeons of Egypt. And get me out of here. What a language. I was
forcibly abducted
from the Eretz HaIvrim. Derech Agad, this is not part of my remarks. There was a going in Telz. Abchaim Telz. Mechaber b'sefer chedush Abchaim. There are a lot of wonderful Abchaims.
Yeah.
So he went on a fundraising mission for the Telz Yeshiva when he was in Europe. And he went to England. And in England, unfortunately, he was not very successful. This is many, many years ago, probably 100 years ago. He was not successful in his mission to raise money for the Telz Yeshiva. And tragically, he passed away in England. Almost a sudden kind of tira. I don't know if the two issues are related or not. Namely, his lack of success in raising funding for the Telz Yeshiva. And there was no one who knew who he was. England was not, at that time, a country with yeshivas. And Europe was, Baruch Hashem, Mother Begodesh yeshivas. So at his levai, there was only one person who was a dayan in England who knew him. Dayan Hillman. The shver of Rav Herzog, Zechutzal Livracha. Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi of the state of Israel after Rav Kook Zatzal. He was a goyin ha-goyin. Genius. Spoke 10 languages. Anyway, his shver was dayan Hillman. Who also learned in Europe, but he happened to be in England. So he was maspid him. Parshan Bayeshev. And what did he say? Kiguno gunati me'eretz ha'ivrim, v'gam poilo asisi me'uma, ki somo osi babor. What a hesped. It was never forgotten. You know what the words mean? Yosef says to the Sar HaMashkin, I was forcibly abducted from Eretz HaIvrim, from Eretz Yisrael. V'gam poilo asisi me'uma, here I didn't accomplish anything. And where did I end up? Ki somo osi babor. The dungeons, the prisons in Egypt were essentially deep, bottomless pits. So Dayan Hillman said about the Goyim, the Chaim Telza, Ki gunav gunati me'eretz ha'ivrim, he was taken out of Europe, out of the Mokam of Yeshivas. V'gam poilo asisi me'uma, he didn't accomplish much in England in terms of raising money for the Yeshiva. And what happened to him? Ki somo osi babor. Wow, what an aspect.
It's so sad.
Very sad.
Yeah, it's
very sad and very tragic. Okay, back to the ranch. So Yosef does a tremendous chesed with the Sar HaMashkin. Essentially, what did he do? By interpreting his dream favorably, he indicated to him that there's, pardon the expression, life at the end of the tunnel. And he asked him for a small chesed. Remember me to Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. Hopefully I'll be able to be extricated from this. So it seemed that this Bakosha, Nathan, is quite logical, quite elementary, and quite basic. All of us would ask for such a Bakosha. And what does the Pasuk say? The last Pasuk in the Pasha, the Torah testifies, V'loi zocha asa amashki mes Yosef, v'yishko cheyu. And Yosef was compelled to remain another 2 years in prison. How do we know? Next week's Pasha. V'yimi kech, nasayim yoni. At the end of 2 years, the question is obvious. Why was Yosef subjected to a gzeira from Hashem Yisbarach to remain another 2 years in prison? Rashi has the kasha. I want to read the lashon of Rashi. Rashi is bothered, first of all, by the language of the pasuk, the Torah seems to be repetitive. Isn't that obvious that there's no need to say Vayishkacheyim? I'm not going to go into that. That each one of these items requires a separate shiur. I'm not exaggerating. But Rashi says, I read the Lashon of Rashi. Rashi answers the kasha implicitly. That day that Yosef made the request, he forgot. And even afterwards, that forgefulness continued. They should tell about Yosef the Zichro, because Yosef was hanging on the Sarah Mashkim, so to speak. He expected him to go ahead and carry out this request. Says Rashi, because of that, because he was Toila on the Sarah Mashkim, Huskak Lias also Shtei Shodim. Because of that, he was punished for remaining another 2 years in prison. Shenemar, Rashi goes to Pasuk. Ashri Agever Shasom Hashem Miftacho. Happy is the person who places his bitachon in Hashem. V'lo pono el rehavim. He doesn't turn to rehavim. What a word. Says Rashi. V'lo batach al mitzrayim hakruim rav. The Egyptians are called rehavim. We'll get to that in a moment. And Rashi is based on the Medrash. Rashi doesn't usually necessarily offer his own original interpretation, but primarily and preeminently Rashi cites Midrashim. I read the Medrash. Mention on that pasuk, Ashri Agev Asher Som Hashem Mitzachol Zeh Yosef V'lo Pono L'Vahavim Zeh Yosef. The Medrash says in the beginning, Ashri Agev, who's the Baal Bitachon, well known for his Bitachon, Yosef V'Araya Lo Pono L'Vahavim. And then that second part of the pasuk, Lo Pono L'Vahavim, also Yosef Ayidei Shom Haskartani Mitzkartani Nitzes Lo Shnei Shonim. So this Medrash is a stira min erubet, what they call an oxymoron, an outright contradiction. The Medrash first tells us who is the Baal Bitachon par excellence? Yosef. A second later, by virtue of saying, Tzchatani Vizkatani, Lopon El Rehovim, 2 years were added to his stint in prison. A stira in there. There are many ways to be Miyashi in the stira. I'm just going to share with you two ways. The Chazanish. The Chazanish in the Sefer Emunah Bitachon, which, by the way, you are aware, is now translated into English, an absolutely gorgeous translation, which every single person in this room should acquire. Chazanish's Sefer is not an easy Sefer, Emunah Bitachon. I was able to learn it many, many decades ago. Unfortunately, there was no English. But today, there's a beautiful English translation. Chazanish has the following comment. There's no question, as you know, probably the most difficult issue is already raised by Rishonim everywhere. And the one who really articulates the issue directly is the Messias HaShoah, who points out that this conflict between bitochen that one should have in Hashem Yisbarach and the amount of ishtablus that one has to do, this is one of my favorite topics with our Rebbe Shlita HaRav Goldschmidt that we've spoken about at any number of occasions. The conflict between bitochen and ishtablus. Everyone has to have bitochen in Hashem Yisbarach. And now the question is, must I do ishtablus? The answer, of course, is obviously yes. The pasuk says in Re'ei, in the context of the mitzvah tzedakah, Uberacha Hashem Elokecha b'chal asher taaseh. Hashem will give you a bracha, all that you do. Ask the Medrash, Yochol Yeshev Batal. I might think I could sit back and simply, how did the Tzvi describe it? I will no longer have to drive a car. I will now be in that, what is it called?
Tesla.
A Tesla. And I will sit back in my armchair in the Tesla, drink my coffee, and learn a black Gemara. Wow. Yadid natachta. Kad finishor. So the pasuk says, Yochol yeshiv batel, tamulayim b'chal asher taaseh. So now the question, of course, is, how much? How much asiyah must I do? How much ishtablus must I be involved in? So, as you know, there's a massive machlokes for Rishonim regarding this matter. I'm sure you're aware of it. And in general, the general rule of thumb is that it depends on the level of bitachon. The greater the level of bitachon, the less the ishtablus. The lower the level of bitachon, the greater the ishtablus you have to do. The greater the level, the less ishtablus you're obligated to do. The less bitachon, the more ishtablus. There's a Rambam, Pir Shamashai, some Sochim, I assume you're aware of it. Famous machlokes, the Rambam and Ramban. There's a Ramban in Bechukosai. What a Ramban. All the Farshim Shalom talk about it, the Taz and everybody else. Rabban says, In a utopian world, there's no need for doctors. Ma'achel ha'tereifim beveis Hashem. What function does the doctor have in the house of Hashem Yisbarach? What did they do with Man Hanavi? They went to a Navi. Because there is no physical machla that doesn't have a spiritual counterpart to it. When a person has machla, sachon al-san, because of Averis Shabiyado, and the Rebbe Hashem punishes him to wake him up. Matter of fact, this can be seen in what Parsha in Chumash, almost explicit Parsha in Chumash. We're not zeicha to the level of Ashkocha that existed then, the Parsha Tzaras. You don't need the Shlach Kodesh. Azei Shteyn Ramban. Azei Shteyn Lamin B'chayim. Azei Shteyn Timar Olim Shem B'Tayla. Point that out. Tzaras is, comes with the Gemara Erechim, Rosh Hashanah, and all that. So right away, the person breaks out in Tzaras. That's a sign of your Madrega, that the Ibn Hashem immediately punishes you, so you recognize, wake up and smell the coffee. Namely, the coffee being Lashon Hara. And Tzaras, right away, the person is afflicted. Tzaras HaBeg, Tzaras HaGub, one moment, if you don't mind. So the Rabban writes in Hukosai, in the ideal world, there's no need for doctors. You simply go to a Navi. The Navi will be, he's the doctor par excellence. He'll tell you what your issue is, what your Avera was, and there's no Onish below Chet. But of course, we don't believe in the ideal world, and therefore we have to go to doctors. The Rabban sees his Machos HaMeroyim, the end of Masechet Brachos. 2 days in HaMeroyim, we got to cut us down. That therefore was essentially bloodletting. My Rebbe used to say a joke. Bloodletting, they were able to remove the poison from the bloodstream, and then the patient died from loss of blood. That was the refuah of Chazal, HaKos Hasdam. The barbershops, you know, the barbershops, they were mechemists for HaKos Hasdam. That's why they had, what colors are in barbershops? Are Yom Hazeh?
Red and blue.
Red and blue, thank you. Anyway, so the Rambam Pirsha Mishnah takes issue with this Ramban. He goes to town without quoting the Ramban by name. He goes to town and he says, the Gemara of Kama, where is that? The Gemara says that the Kachin did the Rishus away from the Rappes, that a doctor, Merapa Yerapa, has permission to go ahead and be Merapa. The Rambam says that there's no distinction between medical care and a person who is starving. So what do? If he's starving, how do you cure that ailment? You cure it by what? By giving him some food. And the same applies to refuah. I'm not getting to this issue, but again, now come back to the Chazanish. So the Chazanish wants to miyashit this medrash to stira. So the Chazanish says the following, that Yosef, when he turned to Sarah Mashkin, that was the kind of ishtalas. Now that ishtalas seemingly was logical. No, Nathan, would you not say it's logical to ask for a favor? He interprets the dream of the Sarah Mashkin. He's able to calm his ruffled nerves. He now knows there's light at the end of the tunnel. Can't you do me a little favor? A simple favor? It seems to be a logical ishtalas. Said the Medrash, Yosef is the Baal Bitochon par excellence. Of such a madrega is Yosef Bitochon, he has no right to go out. Even a minimalistic ishtablos for him is inappropriate. V'lo panel rehavim. What does it mean, rehavim? Whom are the rehavim? For him it's a pgam. It's interesting, the Medrash, my father Shem, was very into Midrashim. I'm not, unfortunately, the way my father was. Medrash described the Sarah Mashkin was so frustrated and was so vexed by the dream that he had, and he was frightened that, God forbid, who knows what's going to happen in his situation. And the fact that Yosef came and, as I said, relieved his anxiety and his stress, that was a tremendous chesed on the part of Yosef to the Sarah Mashkin. But Yosef is the Baal Bitochel par excellence. So the Medrash takes him to task, says the Chazanish, V'loi pono el rehovin. Who does he turn to at the end of the day? He turns to someone who's, the word rehovim is interpreted by Mefarshim as baligaiva. At the end of the day, Sarah Mashkin was also a baligaivinik. In general, we know that, I don't want to get into this area, politicians. Anyone who knows anything about politicians, they are baligaiva shen kamo. We're living in an Alma de Shikra. Most of them are in the gather of Rehavim, what the Medrash calls Bali Gaiva. And we understand their interests are primarily their own self-interests, whether they're mercantile interests or interests of Kovid or interests of Gaiva or interests of Taiva. And unfortunately, they're not always concerned with the Tzibur as they should be. That should be their function. That should be Shulchei Tzibur. And we know Kalayiskim B'tzachei Tzibur Be'emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalom Shalom Yosef Mem Kol Machla. They're not always Yosef Mitzvah Tzivah Me'amuna. So the Chazanish says this was a pgam on the part of Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef should not have engaged in this kind of ishtadlus. It was considered to be inappropriate for Yosef, such a Baal Bitochon, that he should engage in this type of ishtadlus. And this is how the Chazanish is Miyashim Yosef in the Medrash. Because on the one hand, Yosef was a very, very big Baal Bitochon. Ashri Agena, Ashasom Hashem Mitzachon Zeh Yosef. And yet, one is allowed to be engaging in ishtadlus, but not if the ishtadlus was a doom Baal Gaiva. People who are Rehovim, people who are of a nature that they are going to take advantage of you. Once they do a favor for you, then you're going to be obligated to do them favors. And what have you knows, ishtadlus is mutter. But ishtadlus is not mutter if the emsoi for ishtadlus is going to be Baal Gaiva. People are arrogant, presumptuous, politicians. People who are interested only in themselves and not anyone else. Can I just finish the point and I will then go ahead and you speak? That's one approach of the Chazanish to Miyashin Gadish. The Netziv in the Hamik Dovar, an absolutely fantastic sefer, both of them are fantastic, and Munim Bitochum and Hamik Dovar. I see I'm doing a good job. So the Netziv actually has a yesod that he lays down and it's found a number of times in the Perasha Chumash. One thing you should know about the Netziv, if you learn him, Kesedah, you'll see, once he lays down a yesod, he re-articulates it multiple times, numerous times, throughout a different perushim. It's very fascinating. So this idea of the Netziv is mentioned several times, as many of his ideas are. I think he first quotes it in this week's parasha by Yishlach, but not in the Hamik Dover, in the Archeb Dover. Archeb Dover was published together with the Hamik Dover, if I'm not mistaken. And essentially, he has a different explanation. He says, Ashri Agever, again, the Lashon of Rashi, Ashri Agever, Shesom Hashem Mitzachon Zeh Yosef. Yosef, obviously, is the dogma of a Baal Bitochon Mufla, as I mentioned. And then he said the following. I wrote it down. V'zeh klal gadol, k'sh'odim rogel b'midah teiva, nase elav k'neder. When a person is rogel in a good midah, that midah becomes what? A neder. It's like something a person does in minhag tov. The person does many, many times, and makabel upon himself, as a minhag tov, it becomes a neder, and you require even hataras nedarim, if you want to undo that. And he quotes a Ran in the Dorim, the 8th, 10th parak of Masech in the Dorim. And if you violate that minhag tov, once it's become part of your very warp and woof, part of your very nature, harei zeh ne'anash, then you're going to be punished. And the Netziv refers to Gemara in Makkos Daf Chaf Dalet. Fascinating Gemara. The Gemara there talks about different Nevi'im. Tayyar mitzvahs were given to Moshe Mitzinai, then each one tried to reduce it to make it easier for us. And reduce it, Bar Yishayo, Bemin Al-Sheish. And finally, Amin Al-Achas, the Tzad Gimanosa Yichye. So he quotes the Gemara in Babetzia, the very famous Gemara. The Gemara, where's that Gemara? Pei Dalet. The Gemara in Babetzia tells a story about Avos Rav Shimon. The Gemara tells about the son of Rav Shimon. Wow, what a maisa. The son of Rav Shimon Yechoyah talking about. That the Gemara says that they're speaking about someone who listens when a Talmud Chacham is subjected to derision. Someone mocks a Talmud Chacham. Someone ridicules the Talmud Chacham. Someone makes fun of the Talmud Chacham. And someone listens to that Zilusa, Mitzvah de Rabbanon, Vishosek. He doesn't protest. He's not Meicha. And the Gemara gives an example over there in Babetzia, there in Peidale, of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that the Gemara says that when he was Nifter, he was not buried right away. And he was in the attic of his house. His body remained completely sholem. It did not decompose. It did not become rakuv bechlal. And one day, his wife saw a tolat coming out of his ear, a little worm that emerged, was crawling from his ear, and she was taken aback. So she thought, now, obviously, his body's about to decompose. That's what she assumed, as generally human bodies decompose. And he came to her in a dream, and he told her, no, my body is not decomposing, but the tolad came about because once I was present when the Talmud Chacham was subjected to derision, to zilzul, and I was not meichah, I didn't protest properly. So she shouldn't become anxious, she shouldn't fret over what happened, but that's the reason for it. Ask the Gemara Akasha, and the Gemara has a whole back and forth over there. The Gemara says maybe he was not so makbid in that midah, maybe he wasn't so careful regarding Talmidei Chacham, you were on the contrary. He was makbid ma'ed in that midah. Anytime a Talmid Chacham was subjected to ridicule, to scorn, to derision, to mockery, he right away protested. And once he did not do so, Memela says in the Tziv, what do you see from that Gemara? Once a person arms himself with a certain midah, and that midah becomes his, then he's going to be subjected to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. The Gemara says, if I have that midah, and I'm going to be punished if Chas V'Shalom, even one time, I was nechshal regarding that midah. So the Netziv says, since he was medaktik in that midah, the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbid. He gives another example in the Netziv. He brought the Gemara in Brachos on Dafei, very fascinating shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol Mishabogo Lava Lebes HaKnesses, Upa Machas Loba, person who's accustomed to coming to shul every day. I spoke earlier about coming to shul on time. Someone who's accustomed to coming to shul every day, among the Asar Rishonim. We have a young man, he comes probably here at 4 o'clock. Noah, I think he's here at 4 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, so I can never beat him, no matter what time. A few times I've come very, very early, you weren't there with Mitzvi. I appeared there before 6, he was there. Anyway, so I don't know what he was doing here, probably learning the whole night. Anyway, so the Gemara says, if you're a ruggle, and one day you don't come, what does the Gemara say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashal Olam. The Medrash requires, also Hashem, what happened? Why are you not here? So the Gemara says, Im Ledvar Mitzvah Holach, if he went for a mitzvah, that's why he wasn't there. No, he got up. Yeah, it's fine. Then he's all right. But the Gemara says, Im Lav Ein Noigalo. That exact question. If not, it's not going to be good for him. Why? Because he's ruggle with Midos Es. You know what this reminds me of? This is again, Derech Agav, I'm not doing well over here. It's at 10 minutes. This reminds me of another, correct, I have to punish myself. So someone asked me, so why should I bother acquiring all these Midos? If I'm going to be punished, what's the point? Rather, I should go ahead, sleep in my bed, and nobody will bother me. The young man, several years ago, I told you, I came for Shabbos. He was not here the whole Shabbos. He appeared on Mosei Shabbos for Ma'ariv. I said, where have you been? So many years ago. He said, I fell asleep. When? Erev Shabbos. And he woke up on Mosei Shabbos. I said, how is it possible? I can't believe it's possible. He said, it's possible. I was very, very tired. I said, but how many hours did you sleep? Do you know how many hours it is with Erev Shabbos? Is it Shabbos? Let's say Shabbos?
More than 25 hours.
Let's say 24 hours he slept.
Probably
I said, I also sleep 24 hours.
A month.
I don't want to tell how many days. I said, I want to be Malam Mitzvah on you. You're Mekayim Shomor. You didn't violate any tenets of Shabbos. Wow. No Zohar, but Shomor you did. So this person asked me, not just that one, another one. So why should I acquire any of these midos if they're just going to be punished? They're going to be leroids. And what, of course, is the answer to that question?
Because we punish for the bad midos.
Excuse me?
Punish for the bad midos.
But why should I acquire even the good
midos?
Because we're
here to make ourselves better.
Well, exactly. That is the function of a person in this world. The Sanag al Hashem, and to become closer to Hashem is Barach. And the Goyin writes in Eben Shlema that the whole tafchis, tafkid, and tachlis of the being in this world is shirias habinus. That's the entire tachlis. So now it comes out according to the Netziv that there's a tviya on Yosef. What's the tviya on Yosef? He goes, Ashri, I give Rosh Hashem Hashem Yitacho. So Yosef is the Baal Bitacho par excellence. That's his midah. So even on one occasion where normally for a person like myself, that would be minimalistic gestaltus, which certainly is in order. That's called Lopana Abahavim. That's considered to be something which is not in sync with the midah of Yosef HaTzadik. So two different pshatim. One, the Chazanish. You can't turn to Baal HaGaiva. And two, the Netziv. That you have to know where you are. Yisrael Chacham HaMakir Es Mekayimah, Chazal say. And since his makom was at the highest level of Bitachom. So a person who develops a good hanhagah, namely, I told someone here who's an enikol of an Adam Gadol. That Adam Gadol was in St. Louis in my days. When I first met him, that young man, I said, I spoke to him for 15 minutes. I said, you have a yapsa, yeshiva sheshmek, a reach from a yeshiva. From Bala Kuntos, where does it come from? So he said, from Isaida, from his grandfather. And he recently, I heard, shamati, shmua shamanu meis Hashem. We just read the Haftarah. Namely, that was a massive Otsum during this late period of time. It's Pashut, yes. Schus Lovis of his Zaydan. His grandfather was a Shashira. Was a Chorif. So whether a person is a Masmid, a Liman Atela, or a Baal Chesed Mufla, a Berem Chavero, so now, if a person who's such a Masmid suddenly starts becoming involved in Bittul Zman, Bittul Teila, who knows what, wow, the Ben Hashem is going to inquire as to this fellow. Abu Halti, where you holding? Or someone is Osik Be Tzorchit Tzibu Be Muna, or someone is Baal Chesed. That's the Yisr. That applies to every possible Hanhoga Teva that a person accepts upon himself. So these two ideas of Chazanish and the Netziv are relevant in every Tkufa, even with Arenu. I assume you're aware that Klal Yisrael, during its perennial Golos, going from one Golos to the next, was subjected to anti-Semitism. We see what's happening in the United States and all over the world, in Europe, terrible, terrible things. And often what we did was we turned to the Umos HaElam, we turned to the nations of the world. All of Tanakh is full of that. I assume you learn Tanakh. You learn Tanakh, you see it everywhere. Sukkim left and right. And somehow we thought that the Umos HaElam are going to help us. At the end of the day, many of them, if not all of them, most of them, are Rehavim, the Bali Gaiva. There's a price to pay for turning to them. Whether it's Mitzrayim, whether it's Ashur, whether it's Babel, whether it's Rome, with all the Gaiva and Shachzanut. And if you remember, Yosef HaTzadik himself came to the recognition, back and forth, I have a whole analysis, and that's also found there. I saw in the same Shaila Lobby, also very nice Shtigl Torah about that. It's good to read it this week. You'll see, you'll have a lot of Hanor, a lot of diukim that I made in the Psukim, that Yosef himself said, Bil Odoi Elokim Yanek Shalom Paro. At the end of the day, it's Rebbeinu Shalom, or the Medrash says, Tola Gdula Bibolov, that why we Matzliach? Because we have Bitochen and Hashem is Baruch. So we came back to Eretz Yisrael, able to establish a sovereign country, and of course, our being here is a function of what the Torah says, V'hoyo, Im Shemoya Tishmoel Mitzvah Yisai, Asher Anechim Mitzav Yisrael Ayoyim, Le'abas Hashem Elokeichem, U'lo'ovda B'chol Abavchem B'chol Nafshechem. If that's the case, V'nosati B'ta'artzechem B'ito Yeru U'malkosh, V'yosavta D'gonecha, V'sivashcha Mitzvahecha, V'chas V'sholom, if Ben Yifte Levavchem, I won't go into one of the Rosh Yeshiva who speaks about a certain academic setting. Ben Yifte Levavchem, Achman Litzan, the results could be Bechar Af Hashem Bachem, Yasa Asa Shabayim Lo Yiyamata, our Hatzlach and Eretz Yisrael is not a function of our technological, colossal capacity which we have, Bach Hashem, in Shum Sofek. That's a good thing, but it's a result, a function of Asher Agev Asher Yitach Hashem. We have to have Bitochen Hashem Yisbarach, the Chashmonoyim, who were Matzliach, and they had heroic exploits. If you read Makabim Malach, Makabim Beis, unbelievable, Nitzchenes, but ultimately, their Bitochen was in Hashem Yisbarach, and especially in the modern era, there's no difference. Today, we also turn to many, many countries. I can't get over the relationship between the State of Israel and Turkey. Wow. What a zigzag kind of path. Alios, Umayvados, yeah, you're not so familiar with it, it's not important necessarily. Anyway, the pasuk, I say it every day in the davening, Bitchu b'Hashem ad'ad. Ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. So on the other hand, we have to have bitachon complete, and we have to nurture, cultivate, develop, enhance, increase that bitachon on a daily basis. We do though through Limud HaTorah, through Tefillah, through Chesed, through Mitzvahs, and we also have to accept upon ourselves good hanhogas, as the Netziv pointed out, and there's no sakana, on the contrary. The greater the balmido, the greater the bitachon, the closer one is to Hashem Yisbarach. I'll just end by referring to the Ramban of Ayichi that I mentioned already a few times. Ramban calls the Chashmonoyim Chaside Elyon. Kach Mishon Ramban. Chaside Elyon. The highest of Chassidim. What does Chassidus mean? Translation of a Chassid is not someone
pious.
What's it, what pious?
To read all the chapters.
He just said what I said. He just pronounced
someone
it differently.
Pious,
one who has pious. Peos. And he said one who's pious. Pious means someone who's pious. I asked one of my grandchildren, I'm trying to teach him English.
Pious.
He said pious means someone with pace. Anyway, Chassidus means mi shemischasid imkeino, someone who does everything with nimishur sadin, someone who's mekabel upon himself not to dupe himself, but to know exactly where he's holding on the ladder, going up on the sulam ha'ila beiskel, going up to Hashem's barach, and that's what we say on Chanukah, and that's what we should be zeicha to. Al hanisim, v'al hapurkom, v'al hagruos, v'al hachuros, v'al hachamos, shasis al avazein v'ayom v'ayim v'adman hazeh, al habayim we should be zeicha once again for those nisim that Hashem's barach brought for us then, we should continue to do for us, and we should adapt the Chazon Ish and the Netziv as our mentors, and in terms of what they express, both the bitachon that one should have, and the good midos and the hanhogos that every Jew should nurture and cultivate in his lifetime. And with that, we'll be zeicha once again to nisim and flos and mitzvah.